I'm loving the pop off.
Let's do another edition of Rent Money Burning Edges. This is Jack Turner, joined by Old Chisholm, Adam Capsch. You know, we're coming to you live. PGA Tour Championship Week. Valhalla. You know, the scene is set for a wonderful weekend of golf. You know, major tournament golf. And you know, for the listeners, Rent Money's maybe been on a little bit of a hiatus, right? We're coming off a couple weeks off. Not a lot of big golf tournaments to talk about. Except, you know, we were putting in practice, you know, behind the scenes. We had Texas Pete come on. Capsch was giving out picks. Talking some deal or no deal island. One of those episodes that just got wiped off the face of the earth, the internet, to never be found. So we apologize for, you know, the wait, but it's not because we weren't trying. But, you know, the practice only makes us better. Practice makes us perfect. So here we are today, Adam. We're gonna let it rip. More than excited to talk to you. How you feeling? How are you today?
Dude, I'm doing pretty good. I'm feeling good. I haven't really been as into the world of golf in general. I'd say probably since the Masters. We've just been busy, man. A lot going on. A lot of life to live, you know?
It's that time of the year, right? May's turning from spring to summer. The weddings are hitting. Vacations are happening. And you can't do anything of that without staying hydrated. The best way to stay hydrated is to hydrate before bed and start off your day in the morning. And the best way to do that is with HidSips. Adam, what does HidSips tell people? If they're not familiar by now, then they can go fuck themselves. But
yeah,
they aren't. Let them know anyways.
Yeah, HidSips. They got a shit ton of products. I do want to call that out. It's not just the Hydro Lamp. That's my favorite.
That's the bread and butter, though.
I mean, yeah. You can't beat it. If you're in a hiking...
Fuck me then, because I need to hit me up with the rest of the products, because I've been locked in on the Hydro Lamp.
Well, I mean, as far as the product list actually goes, they're definitely known for the Hydro Lamp, different like camping things. I think the gravity filtration system is their most popular, mostly because it's only $35. Right, you just take it, hang it up. It's like a hammock for your water. You know, it's convenient. It's there when you need it. But if you haven't heard, folks, HidSips is on a mission, and that mission is to simplify your life. But they want to do that one sip at a time, and they get it. Okay, they understand staying hydrated, especially in this economy. It's tough, but their lineup of products, like we were just walking through, whether it's the Hydro Lamp, the electric water dispenser with the mini fridge. If you think the lamp is tacky, scrap it. We'll just go for the mini fridge and the water filtration system. Or hey, if you're an outdoorsy type of person, get yourself a gravity filtration system. It's great for hiking, great for camping.
HidSips. It's a lot like Applebee's, right? You know, everybody knows them for their baby back ribs, aka the Hydro Lamp. But they got a plethora of other options on the menu, whether it's the irresistibles, you know, some chicken, pasta, wings. They got it all. Check out Hydro Lamp, HidSips. And also, you know, visit your local neighborhood diner, Applebee's, too. So we're going to shout out them both. All right, let's get to it. Woo! All right, Adam, let's do this. 2024, Valhalla. No other course has hosted more PGA tournament championships, tour championships than Valhalla. This is the fourth one. And I'm going to be, what now, 28 years, 29 years. They've also hosted two senior PGA championships as well. This is a course that used to be owned by the PGA Tour. People might not know that, which is kind of how they got a lot of these placements. Recently sold. So this could be our last time visiting a course that has a lot of legacy in the last 20 years. For the foreseeable future, you know, these tournaments that have been played here, they've always set up well. We have some incredible moments. You know, you think of Tiger Woods back in 2000, walking in the putt, big fist pump, sudden death. You also think, you know, Rory closing the season, basically defining his dominance at the time in 2014 and winning there on the last hole. basically every tournament that's been played here out of those last five I mentioned, between the three PGA championships and the two senior championships, have all came in within one stroke. We're going down to Louisville. Adam, what are you most excited about for this course, the storylines? What is, you know, top of mind for this tournament 2024?
I think for me, it's the amount of players becoming dads. Scotty is the most popular. Rory becoming a single dad.
Sam Burns,
right? Firing off a top 10, proving that it is possible to have a child recently and perform better, actually, than he had been playing. There's a lot to discuss, a lot to think about, but I mean, coming fresh off of Mother's Day, just a real quick shout out to all the moms out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Shout out to the mothers. Shout out to the new dads. You know, Sam Burns and Scottie Scheffler, a lot of times Sam Burns is kind of thought of as Scottie's friend, right? Obviously, he's, you know, top 100 golfer, top 50 golfer probably. But you really do cement that friendship when you decide to get pregnant together. And I have no doubt in my mind that was a decision they came to, the two of them. So I love that out of them. Adam, another storyline this week. You know, we're going to Louisville. Justin Thomas, home Louisville. That's where he's from. Any chance Justin can make noise this weekend back in the home state of Kentucky? Probably a course he's very familiar with. He's had his ups and downs this season. It's a storyline that's going to get a lot more TV coverage than maybe actual coverage on the course, just by the way he's been playing. But what are your thoughts?
I mean, I feel like JT is one of those guys that when he's on, there's nobody that I enjoy watching more. When he's not, you genuinely feel in your heart like something bad is happening / is about to happen. He has had
like you might lose some sponsors.
Yeah, definitely good to lose sponsors. But going back to the American Express back at Pete Dye, he has gone on a really solid run with 2, 3, 4, 5, almost 6 top 20 finishes out of the 8 tournaments he's played. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10. So, I mean, we're hitting at damn near 50%.
Yeah.
And I guess he missed the cut at the Genesis, the Players, and the Masters. But because of that T5 at the Signature RBC Heritage, and then finished tied for 21st after a piss poor Saturday at Quail Hollow, I feel like JT's game is right where it needs to be in order for him to at least just contend. Okay. I don't know if I love him necessarily as, you know, like an outright winner, but he's definitely somebody that I've got my eye on when it comes to, say, top 20s, top 10s. Like he'd be a bit of a dark horse candidate in my eyes for a top 10, but top 20 wise, I think he has a lot of value.
Yeah. Tiger Woods, the big cat. You know, we talked a lot about Tiger going into Augusta just because it's great to see him back on the course. It's been very quiet on the Tiger front coming into the, you know, to Valhalla. Any thoughts on him? Do you expect him to make the cut? Just give me your quick, you know, 30 seconds, 45 seconds on Tiger. Any storyline potential? Anything to get excited about? Any bets that you're looking at?
I don't know. I think I love Tiger day one and day two because he comes out where he still has some energy. He's not completely exhausted. He really loses steam towards the end of that Friday round, though. Okay. So I would take him in maybe a couple round one matchups. I don't even know who his matchups are. But he's another one of those guys that's like everybody's going to be placing one of two bets on him. Either one, make and miss the cut. I am obviously in the make the cut camp. But the second one would be like anybody who's throwing like a little sprinkle on him to place top 20. But right. I don't think the PGA Championship the PGA Championship and the US Open are the two majors where he is no longer able to really contend, in my mind.
I would agree. The forecast as well is looking very wet, which I think does not play to his favor either. It's going to maybe make the course play a little longer. Just the way his body holds up on wet ground is something to watch for too, as he's looking at a long course, walking it 4 days. But I'm with you. The guy's still got spunk. First 2 days, I'm still rooting for him. It's still exciting. To me, when it comes to Tiger, I just kind of look at it as a two-day tournament. If he makes the cut, you know, I'm excited. I feel good about it. It's still good to see him be able to compete with some young guys. But after that, you know, everything else is just gravy. Rory McIlroy, you mentioned him earlier, now a single dad. News broke today. He's, you know, getting a divorce. We're feeling for you, Rory. You know, maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it's a bad thing. Time will tell. But in the lead up to, you know, this decision, he's been playing great golf. We saw it at the Zurich with Shane Lowry as his partner, picking up a dub there down in NOLA. And then last week at Quail Hollow in Charlotte, a course that really can be looked at as a comparable test to this weekend's course, and one that you can maybe inform some of your decisions, some of your bet making on how they performed last week, not only for being in good form, but like I said, a similar course makeup and structure. You're about as big of a Roars guy as I know. Are you all the way back in? It felt like after the Masters, we were, you know, kind of down in the dumps a little bit. Like, will it happen? It's been 10 years. Where are you at now?
I mean, I'm always going to be excited for Rory when it's a PGA championship. That's like one of his best. Historically, it's one of his best tournaments ever. Like, not even including majors. We know he's not good at Augusta. I think the longer that the course is, the better off Rory McIlroy is. The less he has to have a wedge in his hands, and he can just focus on hitting a solid driver, maybe taking a three wood, being able to hit like a pitching wedge, a nine iron in, and getting a look at a birdie putt. That's where Rory is by far at his best. If you're asking him to hit all of these finesse shots with a wedge in his hands, he's toast, right? That's game over. But I think those are the three biggest things from a course strategy standpoint too, is you have to hit it long, but you also have to hit it accurately. And as far as I'm concerned, Rory, I would go on record and say that Rory actually has the best swing in all of the PGA Tour. But as far as just purely looking off the tee goes, I'll give you one guess as to who the top two or three guys are. You'll probably be able to nail them all.
Nail them all off the tee? I know Scotty's been great off the tee, just putting it down the middle placement. Is that one?
Yeah, he's number one. Number two, there's no way in fuck.
Is it Toasty?
No, but he is number four.
I know he hits bombs. Somebody I'd call out later for, you know, daily fantasy or pool play. If you're looking for a low-tier guy to make a cut, look out for Toasty. Wyndham Clark can hit the ball really far. I'm not sure if Data Golf tracks Bryson. He's still a bomber. But, yeah, lay it on me.
Number two, Kevin Doherty. Doherty? Nope. Never. I don't think I've even heard of the guy.
But he hits the ball a mile.
It's not even about necessarily...
It's just about placement, where you're distance. Landing it. Yeah,
I will say it's because strokes gained isn't...
Right.
It's literally a tool of you against the field. And so strokes gained off the tee is simply just measuring a player's performance on par fours and par fives, obviously off the tee. And it looks at whether or not they're better or worse than the average tour player in the field that given week. And so
who's number three?
Three is a weirdly growing player. I've been on him for probably 2 years now because he's always dripped the fuck out. Keith Mitchell. I'm a fan of Keith. I like the visor. I don't necessarily think he's, you know, the best golfer, probably because he's one of the best on tour when it comes to gaining strokes, tee to green, off the tee, approach shots. But around the greens, putting, and pretty much anything short game wise, he's not even top 200. So that's where he gets that from.
The course this weekend is a par 71. It's 7,600 yards. It's playing about 151 yards longer than in 2014 when Rory won. So they have increased it a little bit. If you're looking up the makeup of these holes, there's a lot of long par fours, a lot of long par fours. So as Cap's mentioning, not only going to be a great test off the tees, but also looking for players that have, you know, a solid long iron play as well to perform here too. One other, I guess, let's real quickly some more storylines. Brooks, Scotty, you know, Brooks is coming off a PGA Tour win last year, the championship win last year. Scotty's obviously coming off the Masters in 4 out of 5. These two guys are at the top of the leaderboard in terms of, you know, odds on favorites with Rory. Just where do you feel about, you know, maybe Scotty coming off a couple sleepless nights and then Brooks trying to replicate kind of what he's became and what he's made of himself as a major championship player?
Yeah, I love Brooks. I obviously love Scotty, but of all four of the majors, this one I think he has the least leg up on, if that makes sense, just because of the way that the course plays. His biggest strength a lot of the times is not really having weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And this course is one of those that just fits the mold of certain players, i.e. Rory, Brooks, even like a, I'll get into him later, but Tyrrell Hatton is another one that, mm-hmm, I really, really like going into this week. I don't know. I feel like Valhalla in general, just with some of the renovations and stuff that they went through, the Zoysia grass, like,
yeah, the Zoysia grass, the golf nerds love to talk about the difference in Zoysia grass and how that's going to maybe impact the play a little bit. They've added some pot bunkers as well, which, you know, you can see some rollout into, which depending on what type of player you are, you know, rolling into the pot bunker, as long as you're not, you know, maybe around the lips and the edges, could be the better play than some of this thicker rough. The rough this weekend is a combination of a multiple different kinds of rough. It should be playing pretty thick and nasty. Where do you think this, you know, where maybe real quick thoughts on Scotty as well. I mean, I don't know what is even there is to say right now besides that this guy's just been a machine, right?
I don't think enough is being talked about in terms of Meredith. I feel like we've been all on, you know, oh, Scotty's about to be a dad. How'd the labor go? You know, how is the delivery of the child, right? Is Meredith doing okay? I think that's as big, if not a bigger concern, when you compound that with the sleepless nights that I'm sure Scotty's having. Yeah, and to top it all off, he's got like that faithful Christian, you know, man built on rock type of personality, where I feel like little things hit him harder, big things don't, if that makes sense. So I feel like his wife having any form of animosity against him would rattle him. I'm in the same camp. I get it. But, you know, if somebody got in like a car accident and was in the hospital tomorrow, he'd be like, you know, it's God's plan.
Yeah, you know, Scotty put up a picture. Welcome to the world, little one. Your mom and dad love you so much, period. Tags Meredith. Meredith, you know, you go, oh, Meredith's tagged. Let's see what Meredith had to say, what she's got going on. Private, 1,800 followers, tight-knit. I think Meredith is doing all right. You know, she's, as you mentioned, with Scotty, good Catholic, good Christian woman. Christian's probably the better word. I don't think they're Catholic.
No shot, they're Catholic, yeah.
Those, you know, those Texas Christian women, there's a lot of pride in being there to support and procreate. So I hope that she's in, you know, great spirits, filled with gratitude and excitement for their newborn baby.
I love
name,
it, man.
Name TBD. I like that, you know, hey, maybe one day, if Scotty wins, then maybe we'll get a name drop.
That'd be kind of sick. I like a Scotty name drop. I ain't even going to lie.
Let's see. What other storylines? All right, here's another one for you. We got a 47-year-old born and raised in Reno, Nevada. This guy likes to wear hats that say Raw on them and, you know, probably take gas station sex pills. And in his mind, could be a top 10 player if, you know, he had the distance. It's a Block party. It's Blocky season. Michael Block is back at the PGA Tour Championship. Are you excited? Are you excited for a little Blocky madness?
I can't stand him.
Why? How come?
I don't know. I think watching him act like he belongs pisses me off. Watching him act like he's worked so hard for everything. watching him act like he is deserving of anything that happened last year. Like,
you don't like the Raw hats?
No, God, no. He started, maybe it wasn't him that started it, but like in Charlotte, they had the CLT hats.
Ooh, not a fan of the CLT, the clit hats.
Yeah. And I was like, no way a golfer is finding a clit, let alone, you know, unless Johnny Sins is coming out as a golfer in the next porno that he's starring in. I think we're all up shit creek without a paddle. There, so what are we doing? What are we doing?
We had the Blocky point in me. Did I make that hole in one? That was great. We'll see what happens this weekend. I'm not expecting much, but he did play in the 2014 PGA Championship here actually as well. Just a fun fact for you there. All right, Adam. You know, there's a lot of other golfers, a lot of things I'm sure we'll cover as we start to kind of go through maybe what picks and bets we like for this weekend. I know you've been crafting and working diligently on a model to kind of help inform and decide on some of these picks. Why don't you just start us off? Maybe we want to start with, I don't know, have you broken them, any of your picks, into like kind of categories? What are you looking at? Do you have like round one leaders? Are you talking, taking some matchups, some top 10s, top 20s? I know that's usually not your thing. Some long shots. How do you want to approach or break down kind of going through our bets here? What would work best for you?
I would love to break down a few from, I guess we could do multiple categories. So outright winners, picks the place. This is anything from a top five to a top 20. Just, you know, where are they placing? I think we could do a round one leader. I'll throw a couple of names out that I think are going to have success day one, might not be able to keep it for the rest of the way. I think we definitely need to do a long shots.
Yeah.
Long shots is the best.
Let's not bury the lead then. Maybe we'll just get into it and just go straight to the winners.
Yeah.
I'm happy to start. You can start. I will say, very similar to the Masters, even more so now. This week with Rory and Brooks looking very much in form. Brooks had, you know, a win recently on the LIV Tour as well. That everybody outside of these three guys is just automatically, I don't know if I'd almost put them in the long shot category, just off the rip. Are you picking any of these three guys outright to begin with, and then we can continue to go down our list?
Who are the other two?
It's Rory, Scotty, or Brooks. These are kind of the three-headed monster looking into this weekend, in my opinion. And in the opinions of the most of the books as well. I mean, Xander's right there, but I don't think either of us are willing to put Xander on the same level as Brooks with an actual opportunity to win.
No.
Not top five, not top 10. Sorry, Xander. We're looking for winners here, bud.
Yeah, as far as the field itself is concerned, I'm going to have any bets necessarily on, definitely not Scotty. I might tickle Rory, and I want to hammer Brooks, even though I know I shouldn't and I won't. As far as value goes, somehow, some way, Scotty actually has the best value of the three guys you just mentioned. Scotty first, second would be Rory, who has the best value you could get, I think, up to 780, which is close.
Model is saying that Scotty would have about a 13% chance of winning this tournament.
Yeah. I think his odds, I have him at, he should be around plus 500.
And the biggest, you know, the biggest thing that I'm seeing too out of that is like make cut, right? Like this guy doesn't miss cuts. You have him around 97% per your model versus a major drop off to around basically the low 80s for everybody else that's even in around that area. Maybe why don't you talk a little bit through about like what is your model value or what are you trying to find here to pull out or pick out some of these winners?
So I take a few things into consideration. First and foremost, I look at Datagolf's baseline course fit model that they put out. Mm-hmm. I also do a few things where I tweak up which strokes gained categories I believe to be most important associated with said model. This week was strokes gained off the tee, approach, strokes gained, and putting. I think from there, it's a matter of looking at value. What are the odds that, you know, I'm kind of seeing for each golfer versus what are the odds that each sports book does? I always walk through, I think the biggest ones I do for golf are, there's about five or six. It's Bet365, William Hill, FanDuel, DraftKings, and Pinnacle Sportsbook are the big five that I'm always looking at. There's for sure others out there, but those are the top five most popular, I think, when it comes to golf betting. And then outside of that, it's looking at where the most consistency is across all of the books, where the least is, you know, where are the trap lines, if you will. Like there's a ton of different ways that you could hypothetically look at it, but that's.
So out of those top three guys, I'm with you. I don't know if I'm betting on any of them this weekend. If I was going to bet on one, it'd probably be Scotty at the plus 400 just because of the way he plays. But even more than that, Adam, there is, and let me know what you think about this, just value in, let's say we expect Scotty to be top five, right? There's value in having a winner, or a guy that could win down the stretch. So you're looking at it, you're like, okay, now I took two long shots. One of them's there. It's nice to have like a little bit of the Scotty. Okay, he's also there as a hedge. Or if I want to bet somebody else, it's maybe a little bit of a long shot. Scotty's in second place going into Sunday, and he has, you know, the odds are very much in his favor going at it again and winning again. You can kind of then play off that and play somebody else too. Right. So
right.
That would be maybe my reasoning to take Scotty. All these guys have a great chance of winning. Who else do you like this weekend? Outright winners.
So there was a couple I was looking at. I think the biggest one that I was like, yeah, fuck it, I'm all in here. Let me make sure I'm pulling that up properly. I guess outside of Rory, just because we're all in on Rory right now, I'm all in on Ludvig Åberg.
Yeah.
The guy is so fun to watch, and he's getting weirdly good value because of Rory and Xander kind of being towards the top last week. I think him being at, he's 18-1, I believe, on FanDuel and most sports books, and I think that's overinflated. That's way too big of a line right now. And it's all because of the knee injury that kept him out from the Wells Fargo. But prior to that, prior to the Wells Fargo and the withdrawal, it was honestly just, I think he needed to take some time off. Like he had 16 straight weekend appearances in tour events. He had 11 top 15 finishes within that stretch. And that also includes a win for him at the RSM Classic. He also had three runner-up performances within that stretch, one of them being at the Masters, a major tournament. I could see him coming out just being guns blazing. And I think that's probably the other guy that I'm targeting the hardest right now. But as far as the best value play that I'm seeing from a purely betting perspective, not even necessarily looking at it from a quote-unquote, who do I like? There's two guys that stick out to me the most. Right now, if you go and specifically are rocking with FanDuel, you can get Russell Henley at 120-1. I have Russell Henley ranked 24th in the
Russell
field.
Henley, that's a guy that you could just see like 10 years from now. It's like, who won the 2024 PG, like the championship? Oh, Russell Henley did? Okay. Like, he just kind of has that name. The guy that snuck in. Okay, I like that. That's a guy you just like, though, generally. You know, not even to win, but just to outperform expectations.
I think he's a really good add, especially, and we could touch on guys, too, that I think will be solid additions for pools that people are doing. I don't know. I faded Russell Henley last week in a tournament matchup. I'm pretty sure I took Finau over him, and that just did not. Finau finished like 8 over. It was bad.
Yeah. Finau's having a rough season currently.
Yeah.
I also have Ludvig Åberg as a half unit to win outright, plus 2,200 on FanDuel. In similar vein, I took Bryson DeChambeau to win outright at plus 2,800. Another guy that can hit the piss out of the ball, Joaquin Niemann, half unit to win outright at plus 3,500. He's been performing well on the LIV Tour. Joaquin is just like the classic data golf nerd like pick. A lot of the gambling experts love to pick on Joaquin. Out of those guys, both Bryson and Joaquin are people I'd pick out as first round leaders as well. You're going to get even better odds on the first round leaders. Bryson was the first round leader last year at this tournament, first round leader at the Masters. He just comes out fast and hot at a lot of these tournaments. And as they oftentimes firm up, in this case, it might not be the situation with the wet grass, and they might not really have an opportunity to firm up. And with the wet grass, it might even play the fairways a little wider. But you can see Bryson coming out hot. Joaquin's been a fast starter as well. And then the last guy I have is Wyndham Clark. Wyndham to me, plus 4,500 half unit to win as well. These are all guys that I just see have a really high ceiling. And that's why I'm taking them. All can drive the ball really well, have performed in majors before. Wyndham and, you know, Bryson are both major winners in the past. Joaquin and Åberg are both young studs. So those are some of my just quick hitters.
I think it's important to call out a few of the trends going into this too. From a storyline perspective, yeah, you could talk about Scotty and Rory all day. I think it's worth noting Jason Day has looked better and better every week over the last however many years. But
played well last week.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, there's two things that I'm focused on. It's historical trends, number one, and what are the KPIs? What are our key metrics that are defining success? Historically, or at least within recent history, the PGA is won by somebody who has odds of 35-1 or better on average.
Really?
On top of that, Americans are dominating the PGA. Americans have won 8 in a row. That's big ups if you are a Scotty or a Brooks stan for this week. Don't love that second piece when it comes to a Ludvig Åberg, but this is what is second PGA championship. I'm not super worried about him. He's a young dude. He'll figure it out. He's building a lab. The other one, though, being some of the key metrics, there's three within the key metrics. The first one being top 10 finishes. 8 of the last 10 winners have previously finished within the top 10 at a PGA championship historically. Number 2 is driving distance. 7 of the last 10 winners are ranked in the top 30 of driving distance.
Who does that leave you with?
Liking Rory so far, but loving Brooks the more I hear this. I think the last point, though, is their current form, which
it's interesting when you go back the last 10 years, though. Both these guys have fit the mold. They've both won this tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they are the data. Like they're the ones that are making the data and the trends by looking at them and being like, these are what these guys did. So like a lot of the times those guys are still the same guys.
Yeah. But then also current form being the last one, which is winners typically have won at least one event in the season leading up to the PGA Championship victory.
Mm-hmm.
What most people are going to see when they read that is who's playing the best, who's won the most. That was Scotty. But keep in mind that, like I was just saying, Ludwig had that win at the RSM Classic. That counts. That puts him in. Yep. Other than him not being an American, and I got to fact check myself before I keep talking about it.
Yeah, well, you go ahead and fact check a couple other guys that I have, and you'll have to let me know if they fit these quality criteria at all. Neither of them are, I don't think, American. We got Steven Yeager to win outright. This is a fun one, though, from FanDuel. It's winner without Brooks Koepka, Rory McIlroy, Scotty Scheffler, or Xander Schauffele. So if he came in fifth place and those four guys finished in the top four, you would win this bet, et cetera. So if he came in second place, but he came in second place to Rory, you would win this bet, plus 7,500. Another one of the similar structure, you know, without Brooks, Rory, Scotty, and Xander. Byung Hun Ahn. These are both guys that are performing pretty well right now. Yeager's won on tour this year. Smaller tournament still counts, like Adam said. And when it comes to your model, I think these are two guys the model generally liked. You got Yeager at 29th. And Byung Hun Ahn at 14th. So both, you know, both up there. I think higher than what people would expect if you just asked somebody to write down who's the top 15 golfers. Probably wouldn't have Hung Yun, or top 30 might not have Steven Yeager.
All I'm going to say is this. I just fact-checked myself. I like this even more. Outside of Ludwig is I'm going to throw in Justin Thomas as another bet I'm going to be looking at outright. So Ludwig is ranked 23rd right now on the PGA Tour. Justin Thomas ranked 21st when it comes to driver distance. That is a difference of 0.1. Ludwig's at 307.7, JT at 307.8. JT getting the upper hand here as an American, but also because of he's won at the PGA Championship in the past. Yeah. But I will say
2022. Yeah. In Oklahoma City.
The only other thing I would say is worth mentioning here is that this is the second major that Ludwig has ever played in. So we can't really go off of the top 10 finishes at the PGA Championship. However, in the one major he's played in, he finished solo second. So I like those odds.
You know, you never become a major winner until you win a major.
That's what I've been trying to tell people.
He's got that going for him. Should we move into maybe some like top 10s, top 20s, basically just position bets, Adam?
Yes. I'm all in.
All right. Adam actually, in general, at least on past podcasts, has expressed a little bit of wariness around the tops. They always sound good, and they always look good when you put them in. These guys are all going to be there, do that. And then one guy always turns around and stabs you in the back. But I still like him. Maybe we can go back and forth. Here we go. I got a three-leg parlay, plus 510. Max Homa, Xander Schauffele, Tommy Fleetwood, all top 20, plus 510. These are just guys that Tommy Fleetwood, Xander Schauffele are top 20, top 10 monsters in majors. Have been for a little while now. Not people I expect necessarily to win. But those to participate and finish strong, right? Tommy Fleetwood and Xander are both great iron players. Xander's about as much of a sure thing as Scotty's been this year in terms of just showing up in and out every weekend and performing, making the cut, being there, being in final groupings. And then Homa, some people are fading Homa this weekend. You know, he's not the longest hitter, but I just have faith in this guy as a player at this point. And I do think that he's going to start trending upwards in majors. We saw it at the Masters. I think the trend continues. I could see him being a top 20 in all four majors this year.
Palma is one of those guys, to your point, like he's from a pressure standpoint, like when a tournament matters more, he's looked better every single time that he's played in one. Like he's
gotten more comfortable.
He just needed to get comfy. Like it took him a while to figure out like, oh shit, I am a rising star on this tour. And I think the minute that he did and the minute that he just settled in to essentially being the new Xander, like he is the same type of guy that we thought Xander was like 5 years ago, except he still has the opportunity to prove that he has what it takes to win.
A lot more charismatic,
a lot more personality, better looking.
Xander walks funny, but so does Max. Max has a really goofy walk too. Just something to keep an eye on this weekend.
Please.
It kind of walks like a penguin.
That might have to be an upcoming segment on a pod.
His arms and shoulders remain very, you know, directive, forward facing, but they don't swing, but his hands, a little bit of movement. Just keep an eye on it.
Will do.
Well, hell, I'll throw another one out there, Adam. I'm ready to go. I got it pulled up. These guys are my two guys that were kind of that middle tier long shot winners, both to finish in the top 10. That's Bryson and Wyndham. These are just, you know, big hitters, guys that I can trust, guys I do trust in hard environments, hard courses, big moments. Wyndham has been trending absolutely downwards for the last month and a half, but he's also been one of the few guys that I've seen compete with Scotty on a regular basis. He had a lot of those T2s. If Scotty didn't exist, what would the market look at him? You know, how would the market look at him differently this weekend? So Wyndham, Bryson, both top 10. That's going to be plus 1,100. So 10 to win, 120.
Damn. I like that. All right. For me, there's a couple of names that I was looking at. First and foremost, I mentioned this earlier. Let's just get this one off the way. Give me Tyrrell Hatton plus 225 on Bet365 for a top 20 finish. I think that he is one of those guys that I will have in every pool, every DFS lineup. The value that he brings for the cost of bringing him, I guess, for better yeah. or lack of words. I don't know, but
you can't bring him along unless you bring him along, baby.
I'm a fan of Tyrrell Hatton. I want to say I'm also going to call out another guy that's just been sneaky at top 20s. Probably just going to throw on him every single week that he's in a tournament for top 20, and that's Corey Connors.
Yeah, Canadian.
He is like one of the most consistent. I think he has four top 20s among another six top 30s within his last nine starts going all the way back to the Genesis. He finished tied for 12th and tied for 17th in two of his last three PGA championships. And also, little fun fact, right now he's fifth in the entire field playing this weekend and true strokes gained approach and 15th when it comes to tee to green, which, as I was mentioning, those are two huge metrics. I like me some Corey Connors.
Bet. Those are the only two I had. Let's maybe keep going then, unless you got one more you want
to
list.
Works for me. I think the only other one that I wanted to call out from like a top 20, maybe even a top 10 standpoint. Let's do a little top 10. Give me fuck it. Let's get weird. Give me Russell Henley as a top 10. He is projected right now to be a little bit closer to like 600 plus 600. But a lot of the books have him closer to 750. So that's just a value play for a guy that I thought performed pretty well last week. Did not hate the way that he looked out there. Was unpleasantly surprised, but we're going to try to turn that around for this week. And then the other one that I think I get a weird sense of just camaraderie for this man, even though I've never met him and he's not an American, Sepp Straka. Sepp, I love him. Sepp top 10, also 750 right now at Bet365. And Sepp is just one of those guys that when he's on the course, he's going to play consistently. He's going to play clean golf. He's a two-time winner on the PGA Tour. He's been in great form for the past, I would say, 2 years, but definitely his last four consecutive starts, he's played really well. He had a tie for 16th at the majors, tie for 8th last week at the Wells Fargo Championship. He is 3rd right now in true strokes gained approach, 8th overall in true strokes gained off the tee. So I think him and Russell Henley for top 10, give me Corey Connors top 20. I feel pretty good about that.
I might ride with you on Sepp, especially in the daily fantasy format or the pooled out format. I like that. You know, he's not an American, but he's got the Georgia Bulldog soul, baby.
That's what I'm saying. I guess you want to talk to any long shots?
I think I kind of hit the, I mean, most of mine are, haven't been short, especially between Jaeger and Byung being there, you know, the withouts ones. But yeah, tell me any long shot you got.
I got three that we could talk through. One of them is on the LIV Tour.
And his name is?
Dean Burmeister.
Yeah, he's popular. He's probably going into this week. He's in a lot of top tens, a lot of good performances.
I'll say this. He's a great guy to have in the pools.
Nobody knows him.
No one really knows who he is, unless you're a LIV fan, which I think I know two. But he did win.
I think.
Yeah. But he won the LIV Miami event in April, and he won twice on the DP World Tour in South Africa at the end of 2023. I don't know, dude. Like, just looking at him compared to a Tony Finau, compared to a Shane Lowry, I would much rather take a Dean Burmeister going into this weekend. But the other two that we've – one of them we've talked about today. Another one we've talked about fairly consistently in the past. Minwoo Lee is a guy that I've got my eyes on. I didn't realize how young he was. He's only 25. Which is kind of crazy. He hasn't won yet or had a signature win for sure. He did play second at the Cognizant Classic. And as far as recent starts goes, he had two top 25s, one of them being at the Masters. I think he fits the bill when it comes to what you want to see at this type of golf course where if he can just putt well, he'll be a contender. Purely because he is 10th right now in strokes gained off the tee. And like if he can just hit decent approach shots or improve his putting a little bit just for the next 4 days, right? He's a guy that I love. The last one, old Cashmere Keith. How about a little Keith Mitchell in your life? Other than being one of the more stylish guys on the tour, he reminds me a lot of a Minwoo Lee going into this weekend, but he's even better when it comes to strokes gained off the tee. And even more than that, if it comes down to it with longer approach shots, he is very highly ranked in that as well, which makes him pretty attractive when it comes to a Valhalla field and the length that the course has for a par 71. But I think it's really just going to come down to, for him, like, can he have strong enough short game? Like, can he gain a couple of strokes around the greens and or putting? I don't even need it to be both. I just need it to be one. And I feel like he's a long shot that I would love to see sneak in for a top 10, but most likely I'll throw him in my top 20 camp and maybe tickle it outright. But That's where I'm coming from.
Love it. Love it. Good stuff. Make miss cuts, and then we can get out of here and put a book on this one. I know you've mentioned that you're kind of starting, and you've talked yourself into this guy during the episode today. Just out on him right now. Plus 245 to miss the cut, Justin Thomas. I like betting missed cuts a lot of times more than made cuts, because a few of these guys are that you would consider, you know, a lock to make the cut. Big names, people usually aren't betting on them to miss the cut anyways. Don't. You provide some good stats about him and how he's played and made some top 20s here and there. But in between those top 20s, there's also some bad days too, right? And we saw it at the Masters as well. I'm also going to parlay. I have him outright for a unit. And then parlay that with Jordan Spieth to miss the cut as well. That's 10 plus 1,000 there when you parlay those two guys to miss the cut. I doubt very many people are betting against them this weekend. But they're two, you know, slightly erratic players at this point. And I just like the value when you put them together. Those are bets that I'm probably just put them on the back burner. I don't want to root against these guys necessarily. Maybe I wake up Saturday morning and go, all right, cool. That one hit. And then the other one, here's a little fun guy. It's six guys to make the cut plus 615. And this is kind of like a little bit of my daily fantasy team a little bit, but without any of like the top two guys, I would say, if this makes sense. Or like the top two tiers. We got Denny McCarthy to make the cut. Mm-hmm. I love the way this guy putts. He's played really well last week. Quail Hollow was top 10. We got our guy Akshay Bhatia, our sweet prince Akshay. I bet against him to make the cut at the Masters. That was a mistake. I think he's just too solid of a player right now to miss. He's going to be able to have the length and the long iron approach to get in. Then we got the New Zealand guy. This is one of my favorite tier picks, Ryan Fox. He seems to come out really fast and hot in some of these big tournaments that he's been involved in. Long hitter. Betting on Ryan Fox to make the cut. Brooks Koepka, he's, I guess, my top tier pick for this one. I kind of didn't realize I even had him in there. Minus 550 to make the cut. Brooks isn't missing the cut this week. He's in too good a form at a big tournament. He owns the PGA Championships. He just does. He's looking for his fourth. Colin Morikawa, this guy's been in good form lately. He's been playing good in the majors. I think he's a little bit underlooked, undervalued. And then Tommy Fleetwood. So these two guys, all these six guys, $20 or two units basically for me, just $10 unit guy. $143 payout.
All right. This is going to be the complete opposite probably, but there's two guys according to the model that have value for betting against making the cut. The top one out of this entire model is Brooks Koepka.
I like that. But you're also super big on him to win. So fucking pick one.
It's one or the other. Apparently, he's either going to go out and ball out, or he's just going to be like, "Yeah, I'm going home on Saturday morning." But then, I think this one's also jaded because of his previous performances. I think recency is going to outweigh this one. But the other one was Max Homa. Brooksy, you could get at plus 350 to miss the cut right now. He's projected it should be a little bit closer to 300, so it's decent value there. Homa, you can get him at plus 275 to miss the cut. Models got him closer to 240. Outside of that, there's not really a ton positive wise going on, but I guess it, as far as making the cut itself goes, let's have some fun and just throw on Tiger to make the cut. I actually definitely won't. I just want to watch him and enjoy it and not have any stress of like having him as part of my card. But yeah, that's going to be where I'm at. I think Brooks to miss the cut would just be fun.
Sweet. I like that. I like that. I like the Tiger idea. I like the Tiger angle. I'm excited for this weekend. You know, we're recording this on a Tuesday. This should come out on a Wednesday morning. I'm fired up.
I do.
These weeks, it's like, holy shit. The weekend starts on Thursday. During the day, scoreboard watching, tracking your bets. It kind of has like a bit of that March Madness feel that you don't really get in any other sport right now than major championship golf on a Thursday, Friday. It closes the gap to your weekend, and I just love it for that. It's also the best fields we're going to get, and it also means more than it ever has. So these tournaments are, you know, the PGA Tour, they're trying to do these elevated events, but there's nothing more elevated than the majors. Everybody comes together, put away a lot of the bullshit, and let's just see who the best golfer is this weekend on a course that's going to challenge you in a lot of different ways. So I'm fired up. We'll see how it plays out. Capture Now will probably be back again soon to recap, look at the next majors, look at the next big events that we're excited about. NBA basketball is going to be closing up soon. Moving into NHL is going to be finishing up soon. Caps have been dialed in on the NHL, I know.
Oh, yeah.
Baseball has been ratcheting up. A lot of good things going on. A lot of good things. Keep checking out all the other podcasts on the Pop Off Network. Follow the Instagram if you're into funny, just dumb shit. And buy a Hid Sips. So those are your three things of homework for the weekend.
Trying to make it simple for you guys. I don't think we can do any better than that.
We'll put a few of our favorite picks that we laid out on the Instagram as well. We'll collab and maybe come up with a combined one too that Adam and I are in on together.
Yeah. So
without further ado, Adam, let us know what you got going on and then send us away.
Folks, I don't have a lot going on. I'm actually going to go at the driving range. Work on myself for once. But before I head out, why don't you guys do me a favor? And just go ahead and tell your bookie that we say hi. I'm loving the pop-offs.